from your board packet.
First and a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
It passes unanimously. Next, we have meeting minutes of October 18th. Is there an action on this item?
Would we accept the minutes?
Is there a second?
Okay.
We have a first and a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
I would. It's, so used to doing the oral announcement. It passes. Public comments, is there any member of the public that would like to make a public comment at this time?
There are no members of the public with us.
So okay, we'll move on to the next. I have old business. Is there any old business? There would be none listed. There is none. We'll move on to the next item of new business. Existing policy, starting with number one, policy 03, appointment to committees. I'll turn it over to our CEO.
So we have a number of existing policies that we're going to review. And the first one is policy BOD3, appointment to committees. It's on page 8.
Are we going to have it on the screen or I didn't bring one?
So this one had only minor revisions, correct, Chris?
To make us feel Methodist that we added the board and staff communication policies committee.
Was that nowhere before? We never had a policy about the board and staff committee meeting.
Hmm. It's back in now.
Yeah, because these last list was updated with 2020, so.
If that's the only change there on that page to apply.
And there's some other minor language change, but the largest component is having the policies.
Is there any questions on this item from any committee members? No questions? Mm-hmm. Is there a motion to take action on this item?
I make a motion to approve.
Second. We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Next, we have BOD06, filling a vacancy on the board.
That was just a review, only just updating the date with no changes.
But we accept it as changed the date.
Is there a second?
I'm second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It passes. Next, we have BOD number 7, board and committee meeting agenda.
And so here we updated one item on page 30 to increase the number of board members to add an agenda item from 2 to 3, since we have 7 board members now, using 3. And then we added on page 31, we added item 6 that would allow committee meetings for the committee chair to be able to add an agenda.
There any questions?
I just want to clarify something. I happen to agree with this, but I never noticed the language before, but I think we should stress it, is that if a board member or 3 board members want to add an agenda item, they need to call the president. And then the president either can say yes or make sure there's 3 people. In other words, if one board member wanted to add an agenda item, they can call the president, and the president can add the agenda item. If the president says, well, I'm not so sure, then the other board member can get 2 more board members, and then call the president and say, I have 3 board members that want to add it, and then the board member, the president, would add it. I just want to clarify that that's kind of how that would actualize. Does that make sense to the two?
It makes sense, but is there any legality in terms of making a decision behind closed doors, even just to bring an item to the agenda?
No, because you can't have quorums, 4, that's why it's 3. Oh, I see what you mean.
But the 4th being the president, that you're calling.
Okay. Well, I guess the point is that the president would have to add the agenda item if 3 board members wanted to. But if a board member suggested it and the president was inclined not to add it, then my reading this is that a board member could say, okay, I'm going to find 2 more people, and then call the president and say, I have 2 more people, and please add it.
Because at that point, the president is making a decision on the 3 three or a lead person.
So then can the three board members bypass the president, go directly to the CEO to add it to the agenda?
I think that would work better. Because then you don't have a fourth member.
Okay.
Is that okay, Ted?
I don't know, we had a similar situation, so it's kind of...
But I think it's important that the first step, well, again, I'm thinking out loud here. If a board member wants to put something on the agenda, the first step should be to call the president and say, I'd like to put this on the agenda. And then the president can say, okay, let me, and the president might want to run it by staff to make sure the staff is ready to, you know, make sure the staff can do something or needs to, if the staff needs to do something, because you wouldn't want to put something on the staff that they didn't have time to do. If three board members put something on the agenda, it doesn't necessarily necessitate the staff to drop everything they're doing and do the background work required for an action item.
I'm wondering if maybe we don't even need three people for it to be three people. Why isn't it enough just for two to call the president, the chair, and then for it to be two, and the chair then is aware of the request and makes a decision?
That would make the three people is that the situation of three board members talking to the president, that creates a violation of the contract.
So we just have two, instead of making the three, making it two, and that's enough that they contact the chair, and you don't then have the chair being bypassed.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. But
so
I do think
put it two.
Yeah, put it back to two. But I want to follow up with this idea that if you put something on the agenda, that doesn't necessarily mean it can be discussed. And the board itself could then direct staff to do a report or whatever. But I don't like the idea of 2 weeks before the meeting telling the staff they have to drop everything to prepare, you know, the details of something. I mean, how would that work? I'm asking you, how would you like to see?
So in that case, the president of the board will consult with the staff and we prepare this in 2 weeks.
And then
we can say, yes, we can present it, or no, we recommend that we do it at the next meeting.
If it's already going to be on the agenda, you can say it can be on the agenda as a discussion item, but we're not going to have the staff report. There's not going to be a complete staff report because we don't have time to do it.
Well, the staff report sometimes is there. So we have a very concrete example at the last meeting. So Director Shore wanted to, we had a finance committee meeting. He didn't get the results he wanted at the meeting, so, but he wanted then to bring it to the board as an action item. And then because he didn't get what he wanted, he went shopping around for more board members and trying to work around the policy, so creating a mess that was completely unnecessary because there was a committee, there was an opportunity to have a discussion in committee. So this was going to be brought to the board as a discussion item, not as an action item, but he wanted to change the outcome. So we're going to face those situations potentially, and I think we need to be very careful and very aware that this situation can happen, and the officials prevent it.
Well, I think the way we are changing it then to make sure that it's still going by the president, that he or she is still the one that gets to direct it, and whether it's a discussion item or an action item, and then being able to take the input from staff as to what could we realistically be prepared to present at this meeting. So I think that will address it.
But also staff needs to be clear that if staff doesn't have the time to prepare fully, that it can be, although it can be on the agenda and it can be discussed, it can be like a partial discussion. And with clear, the staff can make it clear there is more background work to do. And therefore, let's have the discussion, but we as staff recommend you bring it back. We bring it back at a future meeting with a more complete staff discussion.
I understand that. Do you understand it? Are we okay with it? Is there an action for this item?
So we changed the 3-2, and Dan, anything, I think on 6.
It's just procedural thing, just to make sure we get it in no later than 5 p.m., 5 business days prior to committee meeting date.
Okay, now I have a question. We just filled out a board questionnaire from ACH, whatever it's called. And it said one of the questions was, do you get the agendas at least 1 week before?
But no.
Before. So my question is that the standard? I mean, I know it would be difficult, but is that somehow the standard that we're supposed to be doing?
72 hours.
Huh?
72 hours is law.
Okay, well, why is that, why was that a question? Okay.
But I answered no to that as well.
Oh, okay.
But I think that we're not trying to achieve a meeting. That's what he's trying to speak.
And could it be interpreted that some board members are seeing a meeting, and when we do review it with, you know, the board president, vice president, secretary, there are members of the board that are seeing it a week in advance, so.
That's not true, but I mean, I'm fine with the way it is. I'm not wanting to change it. I just tickled my mind here about that questionnaire. So no, I'm fine with this.
Is there any other changes to this policy, Greg? Okay, is there an action to recommend the action?
I move we accept as, with the exception of changing the 3 back to a 2.
Is there a second? Okay. And I call the questions. Are all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Next, we have BOB number 9, rules of order for board and committee meetings.
No changes, just the date updates.
I move we accept it as update.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have BOB number 10, board meeting conduct.
No changes.
No changes, just the dates.
Go ahead, you do it.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passing. Next, we have policy OP5, grant and mini grant policy.
There's some language changes throughout, but they were done to further clarify or add some additional information to be in compliance with AB 2019. And so that this policy will also in compliance with our CHD certification.
Any questions?
So I just want to look at the mini grant section. Sorry. It was changed from 5 to 10 last year, 2 years ago, something. Yeah. Anybody need to win?
I'm sorry,
I can't hear you.
Last October.
Last October. And does that appear to be sufficient? Okay.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Has the next, we have OP06, delegating minor claim settlement to the CEO.
Just date changes.
Any questions?
I move we accept this.
A second.
A second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor? Passes unanimously. Next, we have OP07, lease compliance.
Any date changes?
Any questions?
So I wonder if this might be, again, I'm thinking out loud here. One of the issues that's come up with lease compliance has to do with people coming to the board to voice their somehow thinking that the healthcare district is responsible or has a role in making sure that the hospital meets nursing staffing ratios, for example. And of course, we all know that it's the California Department of Health Care that's responsible. And there's nothing in the lease other than the lease says that the hospital has to be accredited and follow the law. So it sort of brings into, is this a place, is there a role of putting something in here, clarifying that it's only things that are in the lease that this committee and therefore the board are responsible for, or is that more of a philosophical discussion doesn't need to be in here?
There is,
thinking of the latest.
I don't know exactly where we have it written, but there is a procedure that when there is a complaint about the hospital, that complaint has to be formalized before the CEO. So an email or a letter or something. And then I transmit that complaint to the CEO of the hospital. The CEO of the hospital then has to provide a response. We function under that assumption, and we have functioned well with that. Recently, we had Ezra Kaufman saying that we heard complaints and we didn't do anything, which the response from our legal counsel was there was no complaints, really. It was public comments that they made at a meeting. And they were actually addressed by Michelle because she sent the letter.
And she was there.
And she was there, exactly. So there was, the meeting was a vehicle for Michelle to hear the grievances, and she addressed those concerns subsequently to the meeting.
But doesn't that policy that you just mentioned about sending complaints to Michelle, doesn't that fly in the face of the reality that that's got nothing to do with the lease agreement? That we have no oversight over the hospital in terms of if anything outside the lease agreement? And do we just feed into community thinking that we're running the hospital?
I agree. I think it's...
Maybe we should look at that other policy that basically says we refer all complaints. We should refer complaints to the Department of California Department of Public Health.
To the very first paragraph.
Okay. Is it? I'm sorry. Which paragraph was?
In the resolution,
the paragraph just
with lease compliance.
Right there.
In the course of business.
Yeah. It's right there.
Okay. I think that addresses it.
Yeah.
So we ever have anybody asking to complain? We hear them out, and then if they say you haven't done anything about it, point them to this policy. Is there any other questions?
Well, except we ran into that problem with this.
Yeah, it's a bigger philosophical question of whether we should have such policy that creates I don't know the right word is ambivalent, but it's created an illusion that we have oversight over the operations of the hospital, which we don't.
Hopefully within a year or two or so, we'll have a new lease of some kind. Maybe we can make clearer in that lease that what the process for handling complaints are. I always, when people come to me and tell me stuff, I always say, call the California Department of Healthcare or call the compliance line at the hospital. Both those places can be anonymous. If that's what they're afraid, they say they're afraid of retaliation. They're actually more likely to be retaliated if they're up in a public, online making a complaint. But okay, I'm not fine with this. It just brings up the issue that
would it be possible for us to pretty much say what's in that paragraph in our website? To say that we, the function of the district is this. And it's not that.
In the proof of the disputes, it also states that they have to go to.
So if you had to bring it back, they need to go, for our policy.
Yeah.
Would that make it a little more public since people don't really.
Our mission is
to have it.
But we would need to change this policy that says it's our policy that when somebody comes to us with a complaint, we send it to the CEO and the compliance officer. Actually, have you ever actually called the compliance officer over there?
Never.
So I think we need to change this language because we're sort of setting up, and that's what Ezra fell upon, to complain. I'm going to suggest that we refer this to Conrado and Jeff to come up with a better language for that top paragraph to clarify what we really do and what's appropriate with the lease, and then either bring.
So what you're saying is it's not correct with in that paragraph. It's not correct.
It's not really clear.
Okay. Well,
yeah, and I mean, we can either have another bring it back. So if there's no reason to bring it back quickly, we can wait till the next meeting. But if you come up with good language, and I'm fine if Letty looks at the language and says it's okay for the board meeting, and I don't think it necessarily needs to come back here. If Jeff and Conrado are comfortable, and Letty are comfortable with it.
We can discuss with you. Come up with
some
better language.
Okay, very good. So, so what is your recommendation?
So I move that we table it and until the CEO and legal counsel can look at that first paragraph of language.
And bring it back to the committee. Is there any time issue, Chris, to wait until the next committee meeting?
No, I'm just trying to get these in like a 2-year cycle. The last one was 11.4.1,
but it's not critical.
You know, if we get a decent language, we're comfortable bringing it to the board meeting.
Okay.
And if not this next one, the one after, again, as long as.
Yeah. So possibly to take it to the board directly this month. If not, then.
The following.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have policy OP08 strategic plan.
Some minor changes to it. Yeah, so they're just kind of more clarification, some information there. So to show that this is the mission to achieve health at all stages of life for our district residents. Just
it also adds that this committee has a role in more closely monitoring the strategic plan, correct? Mm-hmm. That's why that is added there.
Correct. Was it optimal health?
Just to achieve optimal health.
Yeah.
At all stages of life.
Oh yeah, optimal health. That's right.
I worked at the museum. We had to memorize the mission statement as the executive director of the piece. What's our mission statement? Not that it's taken the phone, but it was this long.
If it doesn't fit in a t-shirt, it's too long.
So I move we add the word optimal in front of health and otherwise accept this.
Is there a second?
3 seconds.
I do have a question before I call for the vote. The topic that Director Shore brought up at this last meeting about looking at the strategic plan on a regular basis, whether with the committee or the board, is that something that we want to consider adding to this? That on a quarterly basis, we bring it to the board to review, to share where we're at on the strategic plan. Well, I think annually is what he was saying, that it's, you know, by the time you do it, it's already, you're already, you know, where you want to see where you're going at during the year. So maybe it should be quarterly.
Well, I think we as the committee, or the strategic planning committee, ought to look at it more than annually. And I think that at a minimum, the committee should report to the board on an annual basis. If the committee feels that it needs to be done more frequently, it has an option of doing that. But I hate to have the board meeting every 3 months spend the whole time reviewing the strategic plan. But I think the committee should do some review on a quarterly or maybe a bi 6-month basis.
And this committee meets at least quarterly?
Needs quarterly.
Okay, so okay. So what are you okay with that? That this committee meets quarterly, and if there's anything to update, that they will update it to the board. Otherwise, it's a minimum annual. So really no change.
But it doesn't say annually.
Item one says annually.
Okay.
I think we do the annual is because it takes almost a year to find out the outcome of certain things that we're doing.
Absolutely.
So how about semi-annually then to bring it to that? At 6 months, you just throwing it out there, not that I'm...
So I wouldn't take it to the board every 6 months.
Okay.
But definitely this committee needs to be.
So when we considered it, that's what he was asking us to consider it. We considered it and we said no. We want to say once a month, once a year to the board, but the committee will meet once a quarter.
Yeah. And we have to go ahead.
What I was thinking is at some point, and I don't think that we're there yet, the committee could say we should have a facilitated conversation with the facilitators that we have to evaluate where we are. Are we following, are we moving in the right direction? Are there things we want to rediscuss? But I don't think we're there yet. We have a report that we will share with the strategic plan committee, and you will see where we are, what are the challenges, and then we can decide from there if we want to take that direction of having a facilitated conversation with the facilitator and involve the entire board.
Okay, so we'll just expect staff to let us know when they say that is the timing is right, and they think that it's necessary for us that we somehow need some clarification or direction that's what we propose, that we have that kind of facilitation.
But do we put something in there that it's the committee's role to assess, review, and make recommendations if appropriate to the board I'm fine with a 6-month basis to get a little bit of what Arthur's saying. I mean, the other reality is we haven't done it in more than a year because of COVID and all that stuff. So there are reasons why we haven't done it. And he's right, it should have been done, just couldn't. But
isn't that what he's saying in that first paragraph, that it's the committee's responsibility to monitor the district's strategic plan, which is established to improve decision making? So do we need to spell it out that to monitor and modify the district and make a recommendation to modify?
I honestly don't think the strategic plans can be modified.
I don't think so either. I think you're pretty much at the end of the year, you established how you did. So monitoring is really what we're allowed to do.
If we modify something, it would just be the committee.
Yes.
Going to focus on that more, right? Like that would be a modification that we would be able to do, or no?
But I think that deserves a conversation of the entire board, not just the committee making that type of decisions. So. I agree.
Just leaving it the way it is, monitoring.
Well, it says that we have to meet anyways annually to review it and update it. So.
And we as a committee meet quarterly, so we are looking at it. If there's something that we feel needs to be brought to the attention of the board, we'll ask us.
Okay. Elsewhere in our policy, is the strategic planning committee meet quarterly? Is that in our policy?
I was just going to say, if we just did the BOD 3 appointment and duties of committees, and it's got all the responsibilities of each of the committees.
Does it say how often we meet?
It says quarterly.
So if he says,
shall meet quarterly or more often if need.
Okay. So
and shall be responsible
if,
for the
if somebody like Arthur pushes back, and reality, we can say, yeah, we this committee, we didn't do it because of all the stuff that was going on. We should have done it, and we will do it in the future.
I think
that's fine. We have a first and a second. Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Next, we have will be OP10 policies and procedures, bidding regulations governing purchases of supplies and equipment and bidding for public works contracts.
Okay, just updating the dates.
Any questions? Is there a motion?
Second.
Other questions? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
It passes. And then we have number 11, policy OP13, sustainability program.
There's several edits or updates throughout. None of them really significant, more just any more clarification. So, if you like, talking about the waste materials, styrofoam, single use plastics, adding those kinds of items since those have been.
I don't disagree with any of these things. Did you guys sit down and say we want to add these? How did that come about?
Yeah, well, actually, Eric does a pretty good job of kind of going through and adding some thoughts to it. And I look at it.
This all came about 10, 15 years ago when the mayor of Palm Springs told me to develop the whole sustainability thing.
Oh, is that one?
He's a little charge and it won't be sustainable. I don't think it exists anymore.
I think we should put an electric vehicle charger this only for use as district director.
Put it right there with the two designated parking spots
that I used it a couple months ago.
I'm wondering on number two where it says utilize technology where possible to eliminate need for coffee. What do you think of the idea of I utilize technology for remote meetings, for committee meetings, so we don't use gas. Have to do that, or because of the Brown Act that we have to, because my understanding was that Jeff said at the end of the board meeting that a lot of those changes apply to the board meeting, not the committee meeting, so I wasn't sure if that meant the adding the addresses for board members if they're calling them remotely. If that's the case, he was referring to it only if he was saying about the 72-hour notice for committee meetings, if that wasn't necessary for emergencies, if that was the only change. Could we do we prefer to have people here in person? I know today we're here in person. To me, it's
so after we scheduled this meeting, I had a conversation with him. He said that committees are okay to be taken via Zoom.
So, should we consider putting that in there?
I think that would be the interpretation. I don't know. Do we need to spell it out?
I would put it in
there in case the state changes their mind.
But is that because of the state that the AB went to, whatever it is?
I don't think first of all, by definition, we're not a quorum. So we are a committee. Mm-hmm. And I think the Brown Act does applies in that we can't have four board members here. But maybe I just need to clarify with Jeff. I don't have a problem meeting remotely for committees.
Didn't we kind of determine that we were just going to leave it to the committee chair to determine if we wanted it in person or not? But I think at this point.
Well, yeah, I get that, and I was asked that for the other meeting, but I'm just wondering, is this in the framework of what we're talking about here? We're taking it a step further, is that it's okay to, it's actually preferred that you join remotely so that you don't have to use gas and add pollution to it.
So would you put that under number four?
So
that is a
ride sharing, remote access when possible.
Yeah, because the software is.
Yeah, I think that might accept the the modification to say to meet virtually when possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I move we add that pending legal review.
Okay.
Something about remote access, virtual meetings when appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
And when appropriate and not a violation of the Brown Act or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever language he thinks you need.
Mm-hmm.
We have a first and a second. Any other questions, comments? No? Then all those in favor? Aye. Okay. Next we have OP 16, CEO of Discretionary Fund and Sponsorship. You might have a lot of fun with this one.
We have to fill it up.
So this one, do we have a diet Pepsi over there? I saw it from your head. I thought
I know it in the fridge.
No.
So can I start?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to sort of say what I said the other day and hear what other people have to say. I think I'm not concerned whether it's $10,000, $25,000, or $50,000. What I'm concerned about is that we make sure that it's clear that this isn't used to bypass our grant system or mini grant system, and that it's not used in a way that where there's favoritism or anything like that. I think that the purpose that I think it was made was to allow the CEO, when there wasn't time to have a board meeting, to make decisions about supporting some kind of a project that doesn't fit into the mini grant, which many of the grant things fit into the mini grant. But there are other things, and the best example was the buying and closing of the Galilee Center, which I think was a totally appropriate use for it. My concern is it appropriate, for example, for me to go to the CEO and say, gee, I'd like you to sponsor this. I'd like you to use your CEO discretionary fund to sponsor this event. I don't think that's appropriate. I think it puts the CEO in an awkward position to say yes or no. And I think it puts the director in an awkward position if the CEO says no. And I see things in some of the ways it's been used that I think raises some concerns. I also have seen things that it could have come to the board. There was time for something to come to the board to participate in something. I also think that if the CEO uses the discretionary fund for an organization to which we give grants, that's problematic. Because again, it's sort of going around the grant system. And I just want to have that discussion about how other people feel about it. And
it's expiring in 21. It's totally flat.
It's flat.
Oh, wow. And so I think it's like it is before COVID, huh?
It was 3.9. This is why 21 minus is flat.
I'm sorry. I just saw you looking at me like, what is she doing?
Oh.
I know. You know, when I was in Virginia College, we used 3.2 beer and 6.4 beer. Under 18.
Anyway, I just think it's worth the discussion. And I think it's very hard to have, this is a good example of something that's very hard to have discussion on video. Because body language involved, I think there's personal interaction that's important and trust. And so I am comfortable having this discussion.
Do you want to say something that was not said during the meeting that you want to say now, or want that next person go? Okay, so I did hear Elisa saw the recording last night, and I never felt so needed before in my life. You know, three remote, I could actually make this a moment. So, but I listened. I wanted to make sure that I understood what were the issues. And I remember that we had the same issue, the same conversation like 2 years ago, didn't we? When we finally set on this policy.
1 year ago, almost to the date.
Oh, okay. So, so I listened to what you were saying, and I was just wondering what you said again starting today about it's not the dollar amount, it's the position that we're putting our CEO in. And that perception of the CEO, that of how this could be perceived by the public, it's not what you said right now, but what you said during the meeting also about possibly abdicating our responsibility as board members. So that was something that you didn't say right now that I kind of put out there as well. I think what we did when we created this discretionary fund was to make the CEO's job easier. To have give him the responsibility to make decisions without having to bring it to the board. So I think that when we agreed on the $25,000, we got that amount from you, that you said that would work. And then your explanation that you provided to the board was, it's not working anymore because there's more events that I need to go to. You didn't come to us and you haven't said it yet, and maybe I should ask you, has there been an issue where you have been placed in a position where you felt I need to say this, otherwise I'm going to be in hot water with this board member or this board member? If that has not been an issue, then I think we have considered it, and if it's not an issue, then it's not an issue. And if there is an issue, then you're supposed to go to the president and say this is an issue. But if it's not an issue, then
it hasn't been an issue. I haven't felt uncomfortable with anyone. I haven't had any requests that it's unreasonable. If anything, what I have had is the alert. There is this organization. This is what they're doing. I am learning about organizations and missions and functions. And then it gives me the opportunity to ask questions. It was not too long ago, Director Rogers, for example, referred me to some organization that it somehow she's involved with, and they do scholarships, and they have an event. The Rotary was one, but there is another one that she's involved with, some women in leadership, something like that. So I talked to Sheila and I asked her, do you know this organization? She said, oh yes, we work with them. They raise funds and they provide the funding. Sheila Thornton, One Future Coachella Valley, yeah. Which is our grantee. So yes, they raise funds. They give us the funds, so it's a legitimate organization. This is what they're doing. And like that, I think it gives us a strategic opportunity to be visible and to partner with a very small amount with organizations that will be grateful to us and organizations that I believe it is important, and that's why I use the word strategic, that we have that visibility and build the goodwill, because not too far in front of us, we're going to be making a decision regarding that hospital that is going to be controversial, and we will need people to understand our side and to vote with our interest, because it is the interest of the Coachella Valley. And it's very difficult to be everywhere when we cannot be everywhere, and this gives us the opportunity, the ability to do that, to be there.
So I appreciate you answering the question that you haven't been put in a position that has been awkward for you, or possibly make it not supporting a board member. Okay, so that's been addressed. Okay, the issue about supporting an organization, you said for goodwill, but also because we're supporting the mission of these organizations, so you understand the criteria of our funding. All of our money, and that anytime that these decisions that you're making, that it meets the criteria. I think you mentioned during the meeting about the criteria, are we following the criteria? for the criteria that you're giving it to nonprofits, you're giving it to organizations that are supporting the quality of life here. And so I don't think that that's an issue. And about abdicating the responsibility to our CEO, we can hire and fire him. We can hire and fire his replacement. A person is 5 years from now, he's not here. So if we don't like what he or she is doing, that's when we get to do the performance with the CRM.
How do we decide what's a mini grant and what's whatever? I mean, let me just give you an example. $5,000 to regional access. Well,
that's a great decision, by the way.
No, no, I know that. For the fast-paced sponsorship, which is fine. Why wasn't that a mini grant? Why couldn't that be a mini grant?
Because mini grants comes with objectives. It comes with accountability for certain things, and they have to be aligned with a strategic plan.
Okay.
And it's for a year. A sponsorship is for a one-time event. In this case, it was for the fast pitch, which is exposing many organizations to the district and to the RAP Foundation and to the work that we're doing for nonprofit organizations. It gives us the ability to be present, to be one of the judges at the event, so that we have that close interaction with many nonprofit organizations. But that's one example, and it's not a grant. So for anything that smells or looks or feels, it is a mini grant. It comes through the program.
So we're mostly talking about, in addition to emergencies, that sponsorships.
Yeah.
Is that like 80% or?
Pretty much, yes.
We identify mini grants as small.
Okay.
Small
okay.
health initiatives.
Okay.
Because we want to track.
Thank you, because I wasn't clear on the distinction, so I understand now why mini grants are good. So sponsorships. What about, I mean, do you worry about individual board members coming to you and saying, I'd like you to sponsor this organization that I'm involved in? And how do you decide, I'll do it one for every director, or how do you balance that, and does that open that up?
So it's rare, the occasion that a director comes to me and asks me about something like this.
But it's going to change now that we know, well, now that we clarify that that's what this is for, and we're increasing the amount of money.
So it doesn't matter. I feel comfortable having a conversation with the director. Is this an organization that it's fulfilling something that it's to the benefit of the district? Is there some alignment with our strategic plan? Is there some alignment with the mission of the district? Sometimes there is no clear alignment with our strategic plan, but there is alignment with the mission. And I will tell you one example could be Fine Food Bank. It's not in our strategic plan, but if Fine Food Bank were to have a gala tomorrow, I think it's an organization that brings great benefits to the family. And it's an organization that has alignment with the district. So that's why we have been funding that for so many years. So I would feel very comfortable sponsoring the event.
Okay, well, I mean, this helps because basically it says the CEO discretionary fund. It's basically for the CEO mainly, but there are other issues or other things that CEO can do, but it's mainly to sponsor events that organizations that are either aligned or related somehow to healthcare to be involved. And is $50,000 enough?
probably not, but it's helpful. Example, it gives us the flexibility to go out and talk to many organizations. I wish I had more. We have many more opportunities that we can fulfill.
You know, we used to have a policy, and again, that was then and this is now. But in helping with this, I know when I started on the board, there was a policy that the district does not sponsor events, period. And so, in a way, was this created to help to sponsor events? I mean, basically, this has become the sponsorship budget item, sponsor event budget item.
Well, in some cases, it has the sponsorship. In some cases, it's a donation that we're asked to make for something that is immediate. So many times, and again, it's building the goodwill. I get a phone call, let's say, from Marta's kitchen, And they asked me for, we're doing this rally, we're finishing this. and you make a donation. I'll make a donation for $1,000 or $2,000. Those are things that, that come from that discretionary. If we're going to have a dinner that is related to something that it's not in, in our budget with the staff, for example, we can use the discretionary fund for something like that. So those are many, it's not just sponsorship. And the other thing with sponsorship, and the staff that has been here for many years can correct me, one of the challenges with that was when and why, what's the criteria to say no to a sponsorship? And then you will create a situation for potential embarrassment for all the directors to have an open meeting discussing who you're going to sponsor, who you're not going to sponsor. It's a very sticky situation. When you have this discretionary policy, it's up to the CEO. The CEO can be the bad actor, if you will, and shield the board from making a decision that it's not in the policy.
I'm glad you brought that up because I actually was going to suggest something to kind of get, I think you had somebody had mentioned, which was you, Director General, about transparency. And I had thought maybe what we could do is just have you report on your monthly report that you provide sponsorship for these organizations, and that that would be laid out. We're informed. And we're also
it's in the finance report of the CEO.
No, but I wanted the
in the
board report that you would then report that. Would that cause? Yeah. Okay, so that would be.
We also have what we just passed on OP5. Now, I think we should delineate because we say that we do not fund annual campaigns, fundraising events, or expenses related to fundraising. So you're sponsoring a gala, which sometimes can be construed as a fundraising event.
But that's according to that policy. So that's a grant, so that people don't come to a grant, they don't apply for a grant requesting that.
So that this would not actually have to follow that policy.
And as Jeff said at the last meeting, if we do sponsor something and we get a table and we have to do, we have to use the ticket policy to distribute the tickets, that has to be through that policy. So
one thing, maybe you can clarify. I thought as we were sharing some of the items that we were incorporating in OP5 for health and well, or the health code, corporate health code, that one of the things that they had in there is to consider sponsorships.
So it is one of the allowed expenses, but something that our board decided years ago they wanted not to fund.
I don't want to cast aspersions, but I think if you open it up like this, it basically says the CEO can now sponsor events that you're going to have at least one board member that I know of come to you frequently to sponsor stuff. And I worry about that a little bit. You're saying that's your problem and you can handle it, which that's fine. Don't the supervisors have a discretionary fund where they each have money that they can actually give out themselves?
Yeah.
And whatever.
To get back to what Eric said, when you said sponsorship, did it say sponsorship of events or consideration of sponsorship? We sponsor interns, we sponsor preceptors and mentors of students, and then sponsor
sponsorship of organizations.
So that would be many minutes, which would be different.
We had put the specific words in there because, like Conrado indicated, that then it would kind of look to the public like all of them look at sponsorships.
So I think I'm okay with moving it forward at 50,000. I remember last time I guess it was a year ago, that you actually did do research and you did share with us at that time that many of the healthcare districts actually had a discretionary fund at 50,000. Was it you that did the research? I remember somebody said 59.
Well, we used to have, that we did it and you went back and looked at past budgets.
We used to have the discretionary funding policy for the CEO at 50,000.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. One of the board members at that time asked what other districts have. And so somebody did the research and they came back and reported back to us that they had it and that many of them had it at 50,000. So 25,000 was very modest compared to that. So when I saw this and we reviewed it at our committee, I thought, yeah, that we asked the question, is this enough? Same question you asked. And he said, yes. And so that's why we recommended it.
Well, he said that 25,000 was enough too. And obviously it's not enough. So.
Well, that was even under the COVID conditions.
Yes.
We didn't have many, many events that we were participating. People were not gathering.
So I'm much more comfortable. I do like the idea of having it be part of your report and basically maybe segregating the things that we're sponsoring from what I'll call the charitable, you know, emergency charitable stuff, because I think that's equally, if not more important in my mind. And I think that we're going to have to watch and well, you're going to have to make sure that no board member takes advantage. Well, I'm not going to take advantage because you can say no, and I guess you'll have to deal with the fallout from that.
And if you do have a lot of that, then that's when you go to the president and she'll back you.
Yeah.
She will or will not back you.
I think it kind of sounds like they're putting a lot of the blame on him, you know, like if something, if they push him to do something or not. But us as board members, we have to be considerate too.
Absolutely.
There has to be a limit and we have to know our limit too. And the problem is that I see that certain board members have been used to just doing whatever they want and asking for things that they're accustomed to that have been done in the previous years by the board members. And we need to be more
and I like the idea of the report, the CEO report, because then if there is a director that thinks that they want to go directly to the CEO to have, you know, a pet project or something sponsored, then if they realize that it's going to be communicated at the board meeting and transparent like that, if it's something that might be a little bit out of line, then they have to keep that in mind that, okay, this is going to be aired in a public meeting. So maybe it keeps them a little more honest too and not put the CEO in.
By the way, it was brought up at the meeting last time, but I want to say I'm completely against it. The idea that somehow you have to have pre-authorization for your discretionary fund, that makes it a non-discretionary. So I totally agree with that. That came out of nowhere. Anyway, so I'm comfortable with this now.
So on that, was that the only issue to that?
The only thing, yeah.
So is there a motion to approve with leaving it at 50,000 CEO discretionary fund, but to add that the CEO will add it on his monthly, his or her monthly report?
Does that have to be in the policy documents?
Not in the policy. Do you want to put the policy?
I took the right thing. I will follow.
But it's one of the policy.
I don't think it needs to be in the policy.
I'll just make a motion that we're approving the policy as is, but we would like to have this be reported.
So would it be better to have it in the policy for years down the road?
I think so.
Let's
put it in the policy that we say or recommend in this policy.
And report expenditure monthly.
Yeah.
And report expenses monthly.
See your report.
Okay.
And make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
I will call for the present questions. Any other questions, then?
I do. Excuse me. We're going to approve it as is with report of the monthly expenses, similar to us what we do with the FNA committee. Or are we talking about a separate report?
In the CEO report.
Okay, thank you.
At the board meeting, the CEO report. The board meeting. In other words, it will not be part of the consent agenda, which is it, the dollars are now reported in the consent agenda.
Very good. All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Okay. passes unanimously. And any future topics and issues?
Yes, I have one. I think we as a committee need to talk about and maybe request the board have some time to talk about relations with each other as directors and relations between the directors and the staff. Some of it is code of conduct issues. I think part of it is what Odette was talking about. And part of it is just, maybe I'm feeling the need for it because we haven't had it in person for 3 years, almost 2.5 years. But it does seem like communication has been thwarted, mostly because it's done on video. But is that something we can look at, is how we communicate with each other and how we interact with each other? To me, that's part of the mission of the committee.
I think there is a need for something like that for us because of certain issues that have been, right, in the past at the board meetings. There's no reason for anybody to disrespect anybody. There's no reason for anybody to speak up on some, you know, like speak up and have disrespect at the same time. So I think maybe we do need to have a meeting just on code of conduct and just so we can get into a mutual agreement that we're all here for the same thing and we should all respect each other's views.
And also talk about norms. I mean, I'll give you an example. Occasionally a board member will vote and you have no idea why they voted the way they voted. And I think that it's respect to the other board members if they vote different than another board member that they say why they're voting that way. Now, sometimes I'm sure a lot of it has to do with shyness or whatever, but there was something like last year where one person voted against something and I had no idea why. And I wanted to say, wait a minute, I want to hear why you voted no, so that maybe you're right and I will change my vote. That's sort of an idea that we have to be able to share ideas before we reach our final vote. By the way, today is a good example. We were able to talk out something that we just couldn't do on video. And I think it's because we're in person and we respect each other and talked about it and everybody gave their opinion.
Okay, so that's a future topic that we want to ask staff to look into bringing a workshop maybe, or a facilitator to come in and do what we did 2 years ago. I think it's time again to do it again. Thank you.
Have I talked to you about that before?
About
a meeting for all of us to on code of conduct.
We talked about it. We need to find a consultant who can do it. I think we had a consultant in the past that was highly ineffective. And we need to find one that feels more effectiveness to that conversation. We're going to present to the FNA committee a consultant to come and do DEI training or
what kind of training?
DEI, diversity, training, and inclusion. So, because some of those things are also cultural. So, and I think we need to realize and understand that not in every culture people have the same type of behavior. So we will take it from there and try to identify someone who can help us with the governance. Actually, we had a conversation with the NPO Centric. They have a consultant who does governance that I think will also be a good addition to the number of consultants we can have. Board development is a critical activity for any organization. And I think we should have much more of that. Sitting now on the board of the IEHP Foundation, we have a budget of almost unlimited. to do board development. And we're bringing consultants that are helping with strategic planning, with diversity, equity, and inclusion, with looking at data, HPI, you name it. And
sensitivity to that's something that I think we need that.
Yes. Well, all those things are important.
I think CHD, they have a consultant that works with her government's issues.
No, they don't. And
I used to send the CEO around, but he wasn't particularly that effective.
And if I just may add that in the past, when we have had some of these governance workshops, there may have been great recommendations, but the board did not put those recommendations into practice. So we can do these, you know, over and over again. We can have DEI trainings over and over again. We can have governance workshops, and the board can listen to these things. But then if we come back at a later date and we're not moving forward with those matters, it just becomes redundant.
Well, some of it aren't actual actions that the board takes. It's sort of attitude and recognition and sensitivity and things like that, which I think is important.
But I think that's a very good point, Andrea, is that at the beginning of the meeting, the facilitator has to be very clear on what are the objectives of training. And at the end of the meeting, you have to all agree that those objectives, what are we walking away from or what are we agreeing to? You can't just hear it and okay, we're done. But that buy-in has to be at the end. I think it's a good idea that the topics that you're bringing up, the DEI and this one are really the topics that it helps us as a board grow. And it, just because this board has been around for a long time, unlike the IHP, I can understand why they have an unlimited budget, that there's so much to do. But just because it's been around for a long time doesn't mean that there's nothing that we need to be growing and learning from. So
that's another reason why we need the calendar, the extra meetings for the rest of the year, so that
I thought that's what they were doing by adding all these meetings to our calendar.
But you see, they're added one by one, and I think what we need to do is to go through the year so that people can adjust their calendars, so you're not spending your time trying to chase down board members to try to schedule a meeting.
So that's the other issue we're bringing up. It's reminding us that we should we can have a something calendar that is for the rest of the year, not just for the month of March and April, but for the rest of the year. And if it's not necessary to meet, then we'll just cancel it.
So we understand that need. This is where we're finding the biggest challenge. So we're waiting for the board to be presented with this item, and we're going to schedule the training with that organization. Many times, we need to find out who is going to present at that meeting and whether that person is available to do that presentation. And that, I think, is bigger challenge than pointing at a single date that we can have every other week or every month at an additional board meeting. So we can do the exercise. We can put it in our calendar, but I can assure you that it's going to change.
If it changes, that's fine, but I think it's more likely that you could actually, once you set a date, we have a board meeting once a month, and it either works for that day or it doesn't work and it gets postponed for another month. But I think it's a good point that you start focusing in on one date and you have it for the rest of the year.
And I think once a year, there's no reason why we can't do a half day Saturday workshop or something like that, where again we know ahead of time when it's going to be, and you work thing maybe a couple topics into that half day. I don't know.
We have a retreat, an annual retreat.
Yeah, something like that, and you bring in a couple topics. You know,
it has to be within the district.
For example,
the mountain.
I know that next year, 2024, we're all going to be due for our AB1234 training again. Rather than us going up and doing it in Sacramento with ACHD or somebody else, I think we should do it amongst ourselves with Jeff, so that it is really specific to us. Again, not every 2 years, but we've never done it just with the district, have we? I think it's always been part of the stuff online isn't really relevant. You know, again, I'm very much in favor of sexual harassment training, but much of what was in that 2-hour training that I did yesterday was kind of how managers, the subordinates and things like that, and it wasn't particularly relevant, or you had to translate it to what our particular situation is. And that's when we wouldn't necessarily want to do on our own, but I'm saying the AB1234 could be made more relevant to us.
So future topics are governance, board development, possibly a half a day strategic plan get together or trainings, but to have something scheduled on a regular basis for the rest of the calendar year.
Even if it's quarterly, just something on the calendar.
So what makes sense? I mean, like the third Tuesday of the month evening? I mean, because it seems like all of our meetings are going to
if it's the second and the fourth, right now we're on the fourth, so maybe the second Tuesday of the month.
Well, isn't that when the fight is going to be over?
And then the third is the president and vice president review of the agenda, isn't it?
So it's going to be the Wednesday of the second week. So
it was on Tuesday, no?
I like the second week and the fourth week. That way there's a separation. Whatever day of the week, the second and fourth.
Well, the finance has switched to the.
Well, you could change that.
Everything's on Wednesday,
right.
So it could be Tuesday.
Yeah, but I know a lot of times I'm going to compare ourselves to others, but that's what the school district is doing, the second and fourth. Right.
They have one meeting, so we already have one meeting on the second Tuesday, or at least we had two.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes three.
Right. So what's another night or day that works for you three?
And by the way, the purpose is not to make more work for everybody. I think if these work correctly, they will make less work.
But see, that's the dilemma we're in right now. We can't even get a consensus on what's a good night to think of during the month. But
I'm open.
We're all
I'm
open.
Absolutely.
Well,
when we get them
meeting, I have
it
Friday,
Thursday morning. I think Thursdays tend to be bad because I think a lot of other organizations have meetings on Thursdays.
So yeah, second week of the week, and you can just get a census from quarterly
the week that would be. Thursdays and Wednesdays.
Okay.
I mean, Thursdays and Fridays.
Oh, yeah, definitely do not do it on a Friday.
We're bad to do a night during the third week.
We already worked all week. And
I'm not
on a Friday.
But Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, second week.
I don't get that conversation.
No, Tuesday. No, they're Tuesday. Yeah, they're Tuesday.
That's what I was saying. It's Tuesday because right now, the second Tuesday and Wednesday, they're actually our.
Who's on the second Tuesday?
Second Tuesday, we got program committee. At 5.
Okay, that's fine.
And now Wednesday, it's
on the separation of the yeah.
So is it just a placeholder, just to have that day,
or training or workshop?
So that everybody can have it on their calendar. It's not needed.
It could be something like a training like this, or it could be an update for where we're at with the.
It's a lot easier to not book something on a time you know there might be something than to book things and then find out, we want to have a meeting and have to cancel stuff.
So Andrea, we came up with third Tuesday of every month.
For
the extra,
for
the placeholder.
The ghost meeting.
TBD.
And then a workshop that maybe is on a Saturday.
Once a year.
A workshop.
Any other future topics and issues?
Yeah.
No, that's enough.
Thank you.
Okay. So adjournment at 4:23. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh,